Welcome to the Confidence Conversation podcast with me, Joy Burnford. This show explores the world of women, work, and what it takes to feel more confident. A lack of confidence is not a crime, so if you need some motivation, inspiration, or a boost of confidence, grab a cuppa, go for a dog walk, or escape for a drive and join us for today's conversation about confidence. Our focus for this season is on getting to the top, and I'll be talking to some incredible women and experts from around the world to share their real-life stories, advice, and tips to inspire you in your career. And I'd like to say a big thank you to Gail Morgan Style for sponsoring this season. Focusing on mindset, colours, style, and wardrobe management, Gail has inspired me and thousands of other women to increase their visibility, impact, and influence by reducing wardrobe overwhelm and confusion. She truly is a master of her craft and completely understands how the right clothes can immediately increase your confidence and credibility. Gail is offering our listeners 15% off all her virtual and in-person colour analysis sessions and any of her other services when you reference this podcast. To find out more, see the link in the show notes or visit gailmorganstyle.com. Today, I'm excited to welcome Gail Morgan as my guest. Gail has over 30 years' experience and is one of only five image consultants worldwide to be certified on both sides of the Atlantic. Today's topic is about increasing your visibility, impact, and influence. Good afternoon, Gail, and welcome to the Confidence Conversation.
Good afternoon. Lovely to be here.
So it's lovely to have you on the podcast, and thank you so much for sponsoring this season. It's been really lovely to get to know you and the support that you've given me in particular, and hopefully our listeners in the future as well. Tell me a little bit about your background and what inspired you to set up your business.
So my background is retail management. So I have always been interested in clothes and fashion and just how clothes can make us feel, really. And I've even got a book of designs that I did when I was about 8 years old. But I've realised probably quite quickly that I was never going to be a fashion designer. I didn't have the artistic skills, as anyone who's played Pictionary would be able to tell you. And so I looked for different ways to be able to feed my interest and my knowledge, if you like. So that's where I went into fashion retailing after I graduated and worked there for about 5 or 6 years before I became pregnant. And at that time, there really weren't that many options to go back to retail management because the hours were really long and it was different every week. So you just never knew what you were going to do. So it was like, right, what am I going to do? I'm going to set up my own business. And my mum had her colours done. This is the late 80s, early 90s by this stage. And I'd just seen the difference it made to her. She was so much more confident when she got dressed because she'd never been interested in clothes particularly. But it also was a great connection for the two of us. And I guessed I would be similar colouring because we're very similar colouring. And I thought, yes, those were the colours that would suit me. And I kind of experimented and played with it. And just the reaction I got from other people was amazing because I'm very pale, very pasty. And if I wear the wrong colour, you definitely know about it. And so it inspired me and I just ran with it, really. And so very quickly, after setting up my business, after my son was born, I took over the training side of the business. I then took over the company. I then trained other people to be consultants, as well as advising numerous individuals and companies about the whole wonderful world of image and how getting dressed can be simplified and also make such a difference to our careers and how we feel as well, which is the most important thing.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as today's episode is all about increasing your visibility, impact, and influence in the workplace. This is such an important topic. So this podcast is called, as you know, The Confidence Conversation, and confidence can be a major challenge for women in the workplace in particular. How do clothes play a part in this, and how can the right wardrobe help a successful career?
Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm wearing something that makes me feel amazing, I walk differently. I move differently. I stand differently. My mind is different. So it really does affect our mindset and our posture in so many different ways. And sometimes, you know, as women particularly, if we're feeling a bit blur or not very good that day, we tend to hide in something that makes us doubly hide almost. So by wearing something that might feel gorgeous against our skin, or that we know is a great colour, or it flatters our body shape, or whatever those things, it just gives us that little boost on the days when we're feeling a bit meh. But equally, it works the rest of the time as well. So it's like putting on your own armor as well, because again, there'll be certain situations where you need the armor to fight through whatever it is you're doing. And if you know that you look good and you feel great in what you're wearing, it's one less thing to think about, but also it's just there it is your armor, you know? So the right clothes are almost like a piece of non-verbal communication, and they represent and can represent you in so many different ways, and indicate who you are and what you stand for. And it's like, remember that old phrase, you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. Well, actually, this follows through. And, you know, one piece of advice I would say is, if you can look for role models who are already in that position where you want to go, look at the type of clothes they're wearing, what sort of things they're wearing. And this doesn't mean that you have to copy them in any way, but just get a sense or a flavour of what they're wearing, the things they put together. And this is not about creating stereotypes or cookie cutter kind of corporate Stepford Wives. It's about finding what works for you, your position, your role, your aspirations, and all of that as well. Because it's not about everyone turning up in a black suit and a white shirt, because that would be incredibly boring and wouldn't work for the majority of the people anyway. So there are many different types of dress code that we can utilize, and some organizations will have that guidance there for you. But as you get further and further towards the top, that advice tends to be less and less. And so you end up floundering a bit more, because you know you should up your game in some sort of way, but you're not quite sure what that should be. And many women will throw money at the problem, thinking that that will sort it. But actually, if you haven't kind of done the work beforehand and thought about how you want to be perceived and how you want to be influencing, then you could be buying the wrong things. And also, it's almost like buying a uniform, someone else's uniform, not yours.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting, isn't it, how styles have changed over the years as well. And I've still got a wardrobe full of suits, things that I wore 20 years ago. And I keep them because they were good suits. And I think, am I ever going to wear them again? Because fashion has changed and the way we dress. I think also in the olden days, you know, women perhaps wanted to look more like men and wear suits and things like that. And actually now I think it's changed completely, and the more feminine side of fashion has sort of come through the workplace as well, which I think is lovely. Let's talk about first impressions and, you know, developing this consistent personal brand. You know, how should we be aligning how we look with where we want to be, and how important is that?
So as you just sort of alluded to, as women, we have so much more choice now as well. And actually that can be a curse just as much as a benefit, because there's so many different types of clothes we could wear. For a man, all they have to think about is maybe a smart pair of trousers, smart shoes, maybe a suit and a few shirts. I know I'm completely, you know, simplifying the situation, but think about it. That's pretty much what they've got to do. And I'm not saying they get it right by any stretch of the imagination. But for us as women, even if we just looked at jackets, you know, we can have different coloured jackets, we can have different length, we can have different fabrics, we can have different lapels. And so, just saying, I'm going to put a jacket on could be all sorts of different elements. And so it's really sort of starting to think about, well, how do I want to be perceived and what can I do? And it's an opportunity to create your own dress code, your signature style, which I think is fantastic. But if you need to sort of follow almost like a footpath to be able to get there, because just kind of going, yes, I'm going to create my own signature style. If you don't have a very strong, let's say, style gene, then it can be a bit more of a challenge as to what to do. So a little bit of support can help you with that. But one of the ways that I encourage my clients initially to start thinking about this is to think of three words or 3 to 5 words that they would like people to believe about them before they even open their mouth. So it's thinking about your personal values, your brand values, and then thinking, well, what would that look like? So what would authentic look like? What would professional look like? What would, you know, approachable look like? And whatever words you come up with, then it really helps you when you're creating your work wardrobe to eliminate garments from there or think, oh, that would really work. And yes, it takes a bit of creativity to think about it, but it really does get the brain thinking as, now, how is that going to represent me? And is this really what I want to be using to represent myself in that way?
And I wonder how many people think about it like that. I don't think I've ever thought about it like that, actually. That's really interesting. Really interesting. So I know from experience, you know, how we can dress can really impact how we feel, but also on how others perceive us. And this is a bit, you know, what you're talking about, how do you want to sort of come across? But can you talk a little bit about that and how it makes you feel, you know, when you're dressed, how you're dressing?
Well, I think, you know, if we feel good, we look good. It's a very simple phrase to say, but I've been in numerous fitting rooms with women and, you know, we might have chosen seemingly and in theory the most perfect outfit, the most perfect garment. But if they're standing there fiddling, twitching, I say, don't forget it. Because no matter how good it might look, if they're not going to be able to personify it, move in it properly, it's never going to work. Because then it's like wearing someone else's clothes. Whereas, you know, for me, when you see that smile of recognition come over a woman's face in the fitting room, or when we're at the, in, when I'm in their wardrobe, and they suddenly go, wow, look at me, I never knew, then you're going to be able to rock it no matter what, aren't you?
That made me laugh. You said, when I'm in their wardrobe, I think I'm just imagining you sitting in somebody's wardrobe and jumping out. It's interesting as well. I remember somebody saying to me once, you know, wearing the great underwear is also a really good thing because the way you make that makes you feel, if you're wearing something special, and have it giving you the confidence as well to think, if I feel good in the inside, actually, I will come across.
And that is so important, because if we've got the foundations right and if they're comfortable, that's the other point, then that's going to show in our face. If something's uncomfortable, that will show in our face. So literally, you know, if the fabric's not right, if it's too tight, if it's pinching in some way, you're never going to be able to have this serene look of calm and super presence if that's going on in the background. And the other things as well, which we haven't really mentioned yet, we talked a little bit about posture, but also consider grooming. So your makeup, your hair, all of those things all come into your overall impact and image.
I hope you're enjoying the conversation so far. I want to take a moment to tell you a little bit more about my reasons for doing this podcast. At My Confidence Matters, our mission is to work together to navigate a path to gender equality through building confidence and capability. I'm passionate about enabling every woman to have the confidence to progress in their career, and I love talking to and sharing women's stories to inspire others. This podcast forms a small part of what we do, and if you think there's room for improvement in the way your organisation understands and manages the issues, barriers and obstacles that women face in the workplace, please do get in touch or tell your HR contact about us. There's a link in the show notes. And don't forget, developing a consistent personal brand can help you build your confidence and achieve your ambitions. So if something as simple as clothes is standing between you and your success, the amazing Gail at Gail Morgan Style is offering you 15% off all colour analysis and other services when you reference this podcast. So I know you've listened to some of the earlier podcasts in this season on getting to the top. I wondered if there's anything that jumped out at you or that you'd like to touch on from those episodes.
Yeah, I was really interested with what Parv had to say about being comfortable with being uncomfortable if you're the first person around a table that looks different. And again, I think that's so important that you start to own your own style and you find a way that you can make it work for you. I remember having a client a couple of weeks ago, and she actually was an engineer and she wanted a different style. She didn't want to be the suited and booted kind of look. She was real high flyer, was being fast tracked to the top. She really liked to go, you know, she was used to going on site wearing big chunky boots. And so we used that as the basis of her wardrobe. So she now has got, you know, great dresses and trouser suits that she can wear with these boots. And that's her key kind of look, her key piece. So she's kind of, it's going to be her thing, if you like, going forward. And it means that she's comfortable. She knows she's really, you know, can concentrate on what she does best. because she feels great in what she's wearing. And then similarly to that, Alex shared that it was good to be yourself. So by creating your own personal style, you can be recognised for this, which is what this lady's doing, which is, I think, is just fab.
And that brings us really nicely on to thinking about reducing wardrobe overwhelm and confusion, because often you might think, oh, yes, I really want to be doing that, but how on earth do I do it? And I know I've been there with a wardrobe full of clothes and, you know, not sure what suited me and what to wear. And when we first spoke, actually, your advice was that colour analysis was a, you know, good first step in creating a wardrobe that works. And I'd love it if you, we did that before Christmas, a colour analysis, which was fantastic. And as I was just saying to you earlier, I now feel completely differently about my wardrobe and what I've got in there. It sort of gives you a different lens to look at things through. Tell me a little bit about the colour analysis for our listeners and how it works. And I know you offer it online, which I did, as well as in person. Tell me a little bit about that. And I know we've got a recording of my session, a little snippet, which we'll put a recording in the show notes as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as I said, you know, from my mum's experience, I would always say that colour is the starting point, because you can't really do anything else, sorting wardrobes out or going shopping, without having a good colour palette to work with. And when you know that, then everything starts to coordinate together. And you're not even tempted to buy colours that are wrong, in inverted commas, because you think, well, actually, why would I bother? Because actually, this colour really suits me. I'm getting compliments by when I wear these colours. I certainly know that's what happened with me. And I know it's happened with thousands of clients I've worked with. But it's more important that, you know, when you understand that, then you're going to save time, you're going to save money, you're going to get a coordinated wardrobe, and everything works together. So although it might seem like a very 80s kind of thing to do, it's still got relevance today. And if it's going to make life much easier for you, why not?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's the cost of a dress. You know, actually, you buy the wrong dress that you wear. I mean, I've done that. I've actually got one upstairs in my wardrobe I'm trying to sell, because I bought it, sat it in the wardrobe, and I've never used it. And it's just ridiculous. And you can spend, you know, £100 or so on a colour analysis, and then you can feel great about it going forward.
Absolutely. It's, you know, and it is life-changing for many, many women, for sure.
So tell me some of the sort of tips on colour, you know, what colours work for you, and sort of looking at different colour palettes and stuff.
Well, obviously, I would recommend having a colour analysis, but if you want to have a practice and a play and see, you're going to have, everyone has a natural instinct towards different colours. And so look at the colours you have in your wardrobe. But very often when we buy clothes, we're not looking at our faces when we buy the clothes. We're looking to see if they fit our bottoms or waists or whatever. The last thing we look is, oh, actually, does it suit me? Do I look healthy in this colour? Because that's the bonus, is that if you put a colour on that works, then you actually look healthy and alive. Whereas, you know, when I wore the wrong colours in the past, I looked drained and tired, and people wanted me to come and have a lie down, which has happened. So that all of that really works so well. But what I would really recommend and advise people to do is to start to simplify their wardrobe, is to look at neutral colours. Because neutral colours, which would be black, navy, grey, white, cream, dark brown, khaki, camel, tan, those sort of colours. So they are the basis and the foundations of your wardrobe for a successful wardrobe.
But not all the same colour. Just to be clear, that's the different colours for different people. So it's not saying,
yes,
that you need
absolutely.
To have... Yes.
So when you know, when you have a colour analysis, you know which is your key neutral. Because we're similar colouring, we know that navy and grey are going to be our key neutrals. And it's a good idea to start to eliminate the black from our wardrobes. But what that means is that then when you, if you say, right, let's choose navy as my key neutral, then depending on your wardrobe needs, if you get a jacket, a pair of trousers, a coat, a handbag, a belt, a pair of shoes, et cetera, in that colour, then you can put any of your other colours from your colour palette into that mix and it's going to work. Whereas we randomly buy things in the past and hope that somehow they're going to meld together. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that. So the neutrals are the glue that stick everything else together.
And I was just saying to you, on your website, if people have a look at your website, the homepage is lovely, because that's my colour palette. And so I love looking at that page on your website, because I'm like, yeah, that's my wardrobe. That's what I want my wardrobe to look like. talking about simplifying your wardrobe and what we should have in our wardrobes. Obviously, over lockdown, we've spent a lot of time at home or on Zoom, and now we're doing a bit of both. So I'd love to have your advice on creating a wardrobe that works for this way of kind of hybrid way of working. So you have to be kind of, I know we have a laugh sometimes where if I'm doing a presentation, I have my slippers on down on my feet and I've got a smart top and jogging bottoms. But yeah, I'd love to know your advice and thoughts about hybrid working.
And I think that hybrid wardrobes will continue for a while as well, to be honest, because it just feels kind of ridiculous to be suited and booted, sat at home in your kitchen, potentially, to be doing that. But yes, keep the top half when you're online, you know, smart. The key thing that I would also, one of my top tips would be to always wear a sleeve so that you're covering your arms, especially when you're on camera. If you can wear accessories, then that's great. So whether that's if you wear glasses, then you've got a big tick before you do anything else. Wear some lipstick, wear some earrings or a scarf or a necklace, because you want the interest. You want to be able to pop in that rectangle. Because if you're in a Teams meeting or a lot of people on your Zoom call, you want your rectangle to be, you know, to stand out. But not with all flashing lights and kind of neon going, but just that you look serene, that you look, you know, like you know what you're talking about. And obviously think about your background in the background in that situation as well. And you'll just come across as more composed.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny, I always put perfume on when I go and do a presentation online. And my husband always is like, why are you doing that? You're not seeing anybody. And to me, that gives me that sense of confidence, because I'm like, I feel like I'm going to go and do a presentation now. And I put my lipstick on, put my perfume on, and I feel like I'm actually going to do a presentation. And it just gets you in that mood.
Well, it's whatever mindset tricks will get you in step. It's like almost stepping into that role, if you like, especially if you've been, you know, in the washing basket 2 minutes earlier. You've got to kind of step into that role, haven't you? And think about it. And, you know, going back into the office, tentatively we'll be putting our heels back on, because I'm sure, like most women, we've hardly worn high heels over the last couple of years. So it's really just practice around the house before you step outside the door, because you don't want to be falling over as soon as you know, running up and down the stairs anywhere in the office.
Brilliant. That's been so, so helpful, Gail. Before we finish, do you have any advice, you know, one bit of advice that you could give to professional women who are wanting to change the way they think about their clothes in the future?
Well, I would say as humans, we're very visual beings. And so it goes back to the olden times when it's fight or flight. And so we make judgments, unfortunately, about people based on how we look. And that's based around our experiences. And we don't do it to be mean or nasty. It's just a survival instinct kind of thing. So think about who you're going to be meeting on that day. What are you going to be doing? And then dress for that day. So it's a bit of pre-planning. It's a bit of thought. And really do that exercise with the three words, because that is so powerful that it gets you to think of, is this outfit a professional, authentic, authoritative woman would wear? Oh, maybe not. Let's see if I've got something else. Or if I'm shopping, let's go and choose something else that would fit that brief.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Gail. And if listeners want to go and find out more about you and contact you to have a colour analysis and that sort of thing, or a wardrobe help clear out, is that what you call it? What is your sort of...
Oh, well, I call it a wardrobe workout.
Wardrobe workout, okay.
Yeah, so there's lots of, you know, do from colour analysis through to 9-month plans that help me really manage and support and be your wardrobe mistress, if you like. So there's all sorts of different options there.
Brilliant. And where can people go to find that?
Go to gailmorganstyle.com.
Thank you so much. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Thank you again for joining me today and for your support in sponsoring the season.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Gail. And that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back again soon with another confidence conversation. If you know anyone who might find this podcast useful, please do pass on the link. And it would give me a real confidence boost if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. If you like what you've heard, join us at theconfidenceconversation.club, where I'll be sharing tips and notes from each episode, and you can send in your ideas for future topics. And remember, you can get 15% off all virtual and in-person colour analysis sessions and other services at Gail Morgan Style when you reference this podcast. To book, get in touch at gailmorganstyle.com. Thank you. And until next time, bye for now.